Well, good morning to all of you. If you could find a seat, there's lots of energy here. Everybody wants to talk and they're excited about lots of things, right? And the Monday night game. No. Okay, we won't talk about that. Well, if you've been around Cedar Creek, we've been talking for a while about a church plant in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Now, that's a big deal for us as a church. We've never planted a church before, and it's just a major effort. It's going to be challenging. It is challenging. And so the question is, well, why are we doing this? Well, I think it's very important, and I have a couple quotes here from a man named Tim Keller. He's pastor of Redeemer Presbyterian Church in New York, and he's planted and been involved with many, many church plants. And he says this. He says, the vigorous, continual planting of new congregations is the single most crucial strategy for the numerical growth of the body of Christ in any city, and the continual renewal and revival of existing churches in a city. Nothing else, not crusades, outreach programs, parachurch ministries, growing megachurches, congregational consulting, nor church renewal processes will have the consistent impact of dynamic, extensive church planting. I believe that. I know that that is true. And we want to be involved. We want to please the heart of God. God's involved in communicating his good news of Jesus Christ to every person on the face of the earth. And we're part of that. And so in preparation and as part of that, God has been leading us as a congregation, and this has happened over a number of years. We've talked about and we've researched and we've done much about church planting. Well, then, in the past 2 years, God has raised up one of the first keys of a church plant is to have a point person, a man who is a leader, who is mature in character, and God has done that. And Pastor Doug and Mickey, his wife, and their family are stepped forward to say, we would like to spearhead this. And that was all we had a year ago. Well, then the second thing we needed was we needed a team. And within this last year, God has raised up a number of really fine young people, young adults, young families, to say we'd like to help out in this matter. And so we have now a team, and we have a city, La Crosse. Well, that brings us to the kind of the third major factor that we need to see happen before we can launch this team. And that is we need to raise funds and finances to get them started. And that's, you know, just like a parent to their children. You want to give your children a good financial base to get operating in the world. You know, they say that 4 out of 5 church plants fail, and that's kind of scary. It's just like a new business startups. If you look at the experts, they say that one of the main reasons is the lack of capital on the startup. They just didn't have enough money to get established in a healthy way in those early years when things are forming. And so we need to do that. So then the question comes to us, how do we do that? How do we raise money for this church plant? And again, it's something beyond something that we've ever done before as a church. And so we enlisted the help of Mark Bowen, who was here last week and spoke at our conference in the Evergreen Churches, because they've been through the process. And so they helped us develop a process to do this. And we started out by just having all our small groups go through the fields of gold, if you're in a small group. That's a part of the effort, and what we want to do through that was just help each one of us be challenged in our heart to think and to deal in our minds with our finances the way God wants us to, because it doesn't naturally come to us. And God has ways, and his wisdom from his word is helpful to us. So for the next 4 weeks, what we're going to do is we're going to enter into this process, and you'll find out about it. It'll be very stimulating, I believe, for your faith and for all our faiths. And Jason Kanz will be up here right after I'm done to kick off and help you understand so that we answer the questions about what this is all about and why. And so for the next 4 weeks, we're going to lay out this process in which to raise these funds for the church plant. We are not going to give strong-arm tactics. Yesterday in our small group meetings, some of the couples were talking about how they got into a free ventures where they were had to listen to a sales pitch on timeshares. And they were talking about the pain, the torture of these experiences. We will not do that. We will not get you in a room and torture you. That's not part of this process. And we will not give emotional appeals. All us pastors are not good at giving emotional appeals. And so I won't be up here crying, okay? But what we want over the next 4 weeks, though, is God to impress on your hearts. If you're part of Cedar Creek Body, we want really God to be at work in your heart and in your mind. And there might be pressure, not from any person, but from the Lord himself. And that's a good thing. That's a very good thing. So what we're doing today is we're presenting you with a great challenge. Okay? And we need to realize this. This is something we're attempting that's beyond us, beyond anything we've done before. We are asking for sacrifice. And when you hear the word sacrifice, we don't like that. That's hard. That's difficult. And any time we talk about money, we are stirring the pot. I know that as a pastor. Whenever you talk about finances, it's a touchy issue for many people. It's a sensitive issue. And I believe the reason why that is because there's a lot of nerve endings down here. Now, I'm not talking about here, you know, our rear ends don't have a lot of nerves, but there's a lot of nerve endings here. And it goes from here to here. Because Jesus taught and showed us how money is very closely tied to our heart. And so that's why it becomes sensitive. And at times we have wrong perspectives on money. And so even when we start to share on these things, I know sometimes people get very angry. And there's a negative response. Well, there's a couple reasons why that is. Sometimes, in all honesty, a church does speak about money too much. That, you know, we want to go forward and do things. And so there's always, you know, one fundraiser after another. And at Cedar Creek, we try to be very careful not to do that. There's surveys that say that people have stopped attending church. And one of the main reasons was the church asked for money too often. Well, you know, as a church, what we do is once a year we talk about finances in some kind of teaching series. We do that, but we don't do that as a fundraiser. We do that because God's Word helps us to use our finances wisely. And we do that to benefit you. My wife and I have found the principles in God's Word over 35 years ago. And we put that into practice, and it's greatly benefited us as a couple over those years. You put into practice what God says in the area of money and finances, and it'll greatly benefit your life. And so we teach on that once a year. But we also, I think the last fundraiser like this that we had was 5 years ago when Sandy and I went to Berlin. We raised money so that we could go over there and be supported, set up a household and apartment, and to live over in a foreign country, to work with a church. So that was the last one that we had. But sometimes churches can speak too often, but I don't think we do. And then sometimes the second reason why we have a negative response is that, you know, we just have wrong perspectives and wrong attitudes about money. And it grates on us. And God needs to work in our hearts to change that. But I realize, when we talk about finances, we're stirring the pot. And yet sometimes that's very important that we do that. We stir the pot of our heart. You know, it's just like in the fall, you know, it's wonderful to have stews and chilies, right? And when you cook a pot of stew up, one of the things you realize, you got to stir it, right? Because the vegetables fall down to the bottom. And if you don't keep stirring it, pretty soon they start burning. And have you ever eaten chili that's been burned? It goes through the whole, it ruins the whole batch. You know, and I think sometimes our hearts are like that. We get weighed down with the cares and worries of the world, and our hearts need to be stirred. They need to be stirred and stirred up. And this effort that we're doing, a number of us have been working on this and leading out in this, and it's done that with my heart. It's been good, good for me. It's a test of my faith. It causes me to reevaluate my life and where I'm going in life. And I thought, you know, I have a number of questions here that really came up in my heart and my mind that I think that's good when we're challenged in the area of giving. First of all, I think you can ask, what is my life about anyway? I think it's good to ask that question. We don't normally do that. What do I value most in life? You know, it's interesting how it's not what I say that I value most, but it actually is how I spend money. That's probably the best indicator of what I truly value most in life. What are my priorities? Am I willing to take risks? Am I willing to set aside temporal pleasure for eternal gain? That's a challenging one, isn't it? Am I willing to set aside immediate reward that I can see for a future hoped-for reward that I can't see? And then what can we accomplish together as the body of Christ? And that one excites me. You know, we are a body, and I'm excited about this effort. One of the reasons why is because I believe it had just had broad-based support. As we started out this effort a couple years ago, we would pass it on, and we would talk through our leadership community, and then we'd talk to the congregation, and there was great support throughout by everyone. And that's what it's going to take, everyone. 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. He's talking about the church. Local churches gather together. We are a body. We are a community. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And so really to accomplish this task of financing this plant team, it's going to take all of us working together and just asking God to work in each one of our hearts, wherever we're at in life, wherever we're at with our finances, and saying, what do you want me to do? And that excites me. So there's a great challenge ahead of us. Now the question is, how are we going to meet this challenge? You know, and how are we going to do it in a God-honoring way? How can we do that? And I believe that first we need to understand and see that this is a great, in addition to being a great challenge, it's a great opportunity. It's a great opportunity for us. It is an investment that will have huge dividends. When you look at investing money, you want to get a return on that money, right? I believe in giving to God's causes has an eternal investment that goes beyond the things of this world. This church plant will accomplish eternal things, and the investment of it will last. That I believe. Have you ever noticed how in our spending, it's so easy to, it's just, you know, we buy things and we take them home with us. They're physical. They're right there in front of us. You know, we buy a flat screen TV and we take it back from the store. We put our money in and we have something that we're carrying in our hands and we set it up and we watch the football game on this nice screen, and it comes in really good color, you know? And so there's an immediate satisfaction. There's an immediate reward. And so it's very easy to spend our money on things because they're right there. We can hold them. We can grab them. We can carry them with us. And that's just true. But at the same time, those things that we can handle and buy and grab, it's amazing how quickly they wear out because they're temporal. You know, the PlayStation 1 that you guys all bought and the games. Luke tells me that was they came out in 1994. All of those are in Seven Mile Landfill now, right? Along with the PlayStation 2s and all the games. You know, and so now we're on PlayStation 3s. And when are they going to end up in the landfill? You know, that car you bought 20 years ago for $12,000 has been already smashed and melted down, and it's being sold again now for $30,000. I mean, that's just the way it is. Things rot. Things rust. And they're temporal. And yet they're immediate. They're right before us. And it's so hard to get the mindset that I want to invest in something that lasts, something that's eternal, because it's not something you can see, not something you can hold on to, not something you can grasp. And so we need to make that change in our thinking, in our mind. God really helped this in my own life a number of years ago. I was in Germany, and we had a small retreat in the Harz Mountains in central Germany. We took the church down there, and I did my solitude time with everybody, and so we went out, and God really spoke to me very loudly during that time. And I was walking in, it was raining, it was in the springtime, and I had my rain suit on, and I was just out walking, just seeing what the Lord would say and communicate. And so I picked up this little piece of metal I saw on the road. It was this little strip of metal, and I don't know, it caught my eye. So I grabbed it, and I picked it up, and I started looking at it. And there were spots of rust on it. And I thought, okay, I'm not a genius, but this was man-made. I don't know what it is or what it's for, but it must have had a purpose because somebody made it. Somebody put time and money into making this thing. And yet here it is sitting on the ground, rusting away. And that was man-made. And then in contrast to that, as I kept walking, I noticed all the grass. And everything was just lushly green. And I stopped and I looked at a clump of grass. And every one of those stems had all kinds of seeds on the top. And I marveled at that. And then I kept walking and I got into the woods and I saw the trees. And everywhere I looked, it was just lush green. And the pine trees were full of pine cones and they were falling down everywhere. And I was just thinking, wow. And just the thought struck me that whatever God does multiplies itself and it lasts. And so that in reproduction, there's a multiplication that takes place. And so every grass seed goes on and goes on. And that's because God is eternal in his nature. And so he continues things, whereas the things that the man makes rust away and rot. And you know, that's something that you and I need to see, that God has called us to enter into that reproduction and multiplication. And it's a wonderful thing. And as we do, it brings great satisfaction, great joy to us. Right at the beginning, when God created Adam and Eve, he said to them in Genesis 1:22, his first command, he said, God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. He wanted people to enter into a lasting work. And he's called us into that. And it's tremendously satisfying when we do. You know, I look back in my own life, and it wasn't that long ago that I was a single guy, and I fell in love with a beautiful young lady, and God called us together to get married, to get hitched. And so there we are, 1976. You know, and pretty soon before you know it, then what? 1985, there's five Lenanders. Okay, and the little girl doesn't look happy. And then last Christmas, there's 11 of us. Now, not even 1 year later, there's 12 and a 13th on the way. And I tell you, it's incredibly satisfying to see your family multiply. And this is worth far more to me than all the things that I have in my house and that I own and that I use. And it's God allowing me to enter into this thing called multiplication. And you know what? That's true in a physical sense, but it's also true in a spiritual sense. God has called you and I to multiply and to impact others with the good news, and that's an eternal work. And he's called us as a church body to do the same. And that's what this church plant is about. is that us as a congregation, as a community of believers, reproducing ourselves in another location. And through that, impacting and having a great impact on this world and in the kingdom of God. Be fruitful and multiply. I'd like to go back, because back in 1974, about a dozen young people moved from Madison, Wisconsin with that same dream, that same desire. And they moved to Eau Claire. And they labored, and they sacrificed, and they had great faith. And they invested in this thing that eventually became Cedar Creek Community Church. You know, and then early on, they tried different things while they were in the community. And they saw the Sauta City Days. And so they put together a float. And it's a pretty cool float. And they said, Freedom of Jesus in 76. The truth shall make you free. They were just trying to get Jesus, God's name out in the community. And then they set up at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair and just talked about God, had a booth. You know, those are the early days. And then we look at, here's the early version of Faith Walkers. Okay, 1980, here's what we did. I was there then. And, in fact, see that bus back there? Lonnie Ralston, raise your hand. Yeah, this has fond memories. Lonnie and I sanded and painted that bus. That took a lot of paint. We bought it from the Osseo School District for $400. And, of course, its life was used up. But we were going to take that out to a national retreat in New York. And so we loaded up and drove out. And 2 hours from here in Wausau, the generator broke the the bracket and was flying around in the engine compartment. And so overnight, we all hung out as the bus got fixed in Wausau. But we got on and went on to New York 40 hours later. See, those were the days. The good old days, right? Well, those were the good old days. You know, 40 hours on a school bus. You ever done that? I don't know why I got the hump where the wheel was, and I'm the tallest guy. It was terrible. And we take turns laying down the aisle to sleep. And I got the middle of the night. It was wonderful. But, you know, we were just serving God. And it's really good. And so I have a number of other individuals here that I just, Nancy and I went through some of her old pictures. And, you know, Nancy Anderson's the only one left that was on that original team. But there's Mark Bowen, who was with us last weekend in the early days. Okay. And there's Brian and Randy. Now, see that little guy Brian's holding? That little fat-faced little guy? That's Luke back there. Okay. And next one. There's Tom and Gary. When I saw this picture, I said, man, they look the same. This was BK before kids. And you know what they're going to do after this? They're going to have a seminar on how to stay youthful looking as you age. And I said, Mark Anderson and I are going to be the first to sign up for it. But you know, faithful people and many others here from the early days that have been loyal and committed to seeing Cedar Creek grow. And it's exciting. It's exciting to see God's work. And every time I look out and I see different individuals and whose lives have been changed and transformed here, it says it's worth the effort. It's worth the energy. It's worth the money. Next one was last week, Camp Forest Springs. And that's just one segment of the church. You know, last week we had 26 kids under 3 years old here. And I thought, oh, we should take a picture of all the segments of the church. And that'd be fun. And Heather Kahn said, we'd never get 26 little ones. It'd be like herding cats, I think, 26 little kids. But, you know, and then pull the Sunday school kids off, take a picture of them. And then the static middle school group and the next gen high school group. Wouldn't that be fun to have a picture of each one? And then the Edge ministry, get them all together. And the Spuds just started last year, a ministry, great young singles, working and serving Jesus together. And then the Yams, the young and married couples, have a picture of them. And the young families. And then us couples of older kids. The old wise ones, right? The mature wise ones. And then we'd have Rock Berlin in Berlin, Germany. We could take a picture of them. All those are segments of Cedar Creek where God is working to change people's lives. Amazing, isn't it? But God has called us to be reproducers, and it's a worthy goal. It's a worthy goal. So the next picture. And you know, here's the folks that have stepped forward to want to be on the team to La Crosse. Again, a segment of the church. And you know what I look at, and I see this and I say, well, what kinds of slides and pictures are they going to have in 20 years? What kind of lives are going to be impacted from their efforts, their faith, their labor? And you see, that's what we're investing in here, is an eternal work of lives being changed. And it's worth it. Why? Because we're presenting a great God to this lost world, this unbelieving world. We have a great God. And to serve a great God calls for great sacrifice. It calls for great labor. It calls for great faith. Deuteronomy 10:17, I read just a few weeks ago, it said, "For the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God, who does not show partiality or take a bribe." I just want to challenge you that I hope over this 4 weeks you'll allow that great God to speak to your heart and to stir the pot of your heart and say, what can I do? What is my part in this as a part of the body of Christ? I want to challenge you to shake off your fears of the future and your wrong perceptions of money and wrong attitudes toward money, and allow God to touch your heart to be part of this effort. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are a great God, and we just want to honor you. And we just tell you, thanks for giving us a part in your great plan. I just pray that, Lord, for each one of us, God, you'd really clearly communicate to each one our part in the whole. And as together we will stand in awe and amazement at what you've done. And we just thank you. Thank you for the work of Cedar Creek, the team going to La Crosse, and I just pray that there be many hundreds and thousands of lives changed as a result of this effort. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning. I'm Jason Kanz. I am directing the Capital Campaign. And I have the pleasure of sharing with you this morning what it is that's going to look like over the next 4 weeks in a little bit more detail. In a few minutes, we're going to have the ushers are going to share a packet of material with you that's going to explain exactly what we're looking at over that time. But before we do that, I just wanted a chance to share some of the thoughts I've had recently. As Pastor Dave mentioned, a couple of years ago, we really started thinking about and praying about a church plant. Cedar Creek has never planted a church before. But through prayer, we came to that conclusion, we're going to plant a church. And then we found a point person. Pastor Doug and his family agreed to go to La Crosse and prayerfully considered that and are going to La Crosse to plant a church. As a pastor, he's never pastored a new church plant before. But then again, through prayer, a team of people are committed to going to La Crosse to be part of this church plant. To my knowledge, most of them have not been part of a church plant before. And then we pulled together this capital campaign team. Most of us have had no experience raising money for a church plant before. And now as a church body, many of us have not had any experience raising funds, sending a church. And as I was pondering that, I thought to myself, what does a group of novices have doing this? Where do we find our success? And of course the answer is in God. And the Bible is full of examples of God going out before his people in making his church go forward. And I just want to share a couple of examples that I came across in the past few weeks. The first one that I'm going to share is something I shared with the Capital Campaign Team earlier this week, and it's from 1 Chronicles 29. And this is the transition period right between David and Solomon. They had raised money for the temple, and people had given willfully, willingly from their heart as part of that. And as part of the blessing, as David's talking about that, he goes into this beautiful prayer about pointing towards God, and that's really where this has all come from. But one piece I pulled out of that, it says, "O Lord, our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a house for your holy name comes from your hand and is your own." So again, it's that pointing back to God, that this is really all his anyway. And then as we look forward to the New Testament, we see, again, abundant examples. The book of Acts is simply full of the church being planted and God going out before his church. But perhaps here, as we think about the Great Commission, we're a Great Commission church. We believe in bringing the gospel out to people. And in Matthew 28, we all know this part where it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." But I was really struck this week by that next piece that comes along that says, "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So Christ goes out before us. Christ goes out before us in planting a church. You know, you look at the wonderful things that Paul did. They're probably the greatest church planter in history. You know, throughout all of that region, he planted churches. So there are just abundant examples of this. For us as a church, you know, over the past 35 years, we've seen God's hand work. It started with that dozen people or so. And as, you know, that he's built us up as we prepare now to branch out, it's going to be according to his will that we go forward. And as this church continues to grow, and as the new church continues to grow, it's going to be by his grace. So Romans 11:36 says it this way. It says, "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever." So that's really where all of this is focused. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to have the ushers come forward, and they're going to pass out some pamphlets that we've put together kind of explaining this whole process. What I'll ask is that we take one per household, and if you're visiting with us, we'll ask that you just let it pass on by. And what we're going to do is, through the month of October, again, we're going to be talking about this church plant and what that will involve. A capital campaign is the process of raising up funds to send this church plant. And this is that next important step that we have as we go forward from this. The Board of Trustees has determined to fund this new church, Cooley Rock, for a period of 3 years to fully fund them. They developed a budget of $395,000. So that'll be our goal, to raise that amount of money over the next 3 years. So over the next month, you're going to hear from a number of people. You're going to hear, next week, you're going to hear Pastor Rob talk about courage. The following week, you will hear Pastor Doug talk about faith, fear, and sacrifice. And then on the 25th, the final Sunday, is going to be what we call Commitment or Celebration Sunday. And we are going to be having a meal together as a church, and we are going to be making that financial commitment at that point. Between now and then, we would ask you to review these materials and prayerfully consider how you can be involved with this. Now, I do want to kind of go through these materials with people just so you can know what's in these packages. So bear with me as I kind of fumble through all of this stuff. First thing I want to point out is that there's a letter in here from the pastors. This is just a letter that explains their thoughts, their prayer, their heart in terms of planting this church. It's talking about how we can be involved as a people and involved as a church in getting this church planted. And so you can read through that and kind of understand their heart and how we can be involved as part of this adventure. The next thing I'm going to point out is there's a brochure, and on the front of it, it says building up, branching out, and bearing fruit. That's kind of the theme of our church plant and of the capital campaign. You know, clearly as a church, Cedar Creek has built many of us up. Just looking around the room, you can see that, and we're now branching out into La Crosse. And ideally, we're going to see fruit, we're going to bear fruit through this whole process. There's some of the history that's described in there that Pastor Dave was talking about. It's kind of cool to look at. There's going to talk a little more detail about what is this building up, branching out, and bearing fruit look like. And then near the end of the brochure, it's going to talk about what your role can look like in this. Some of the faith steps we're going to ask people to be considering are to pray about this. Pray for the team. Pray for the people who are here. Pray about your heart and how you might be involved giving financially. Studying biblical examples, studying the books, the Bible study materials that we've been going through with Fields of Gold, asking yourself some questions about what does this mean? What does this mean to be planting a church? And then committing to following God's direction for your life financially, prayerfully, and spiritually, and then delighting in the satisfaction of trusting God as we go through this process. So that just kind of lays out the materials a little bit for us. And then the next thing I wanted to point out is we have these what we'll call prayer flip cards. And there's a little thing with the ring at the top. And one of the things we'd like to ask everyone to do is be involved with this in terms of praying for the plant. And it goes in there through a method of praying. And then each day, specific things that we can be praying for as we think about planting the church. There is this little square. It's called a financial card. That's not it. Let me see. There it is. On this sheet, you're going to find some more additional details about financially how you can be involved and some questions that you can ask about. So, for example, on that inside, it talks about how much should you pledge? And there are those four questions that are listed there, such as, you know, am I joyous about the amount that we're pledging to give? Is my gift sacrificial? Am I demonstrating an expression of faith with this amount? And am I convinced that we can give this amount cheerfully and out of a heart of worshiping God and of thankfulness? And so it kind of goes through that. There are some details in there about how you can think about giving, how to pray through that process as you go forward in thinking about this over the next 4 weeks. Now, that's detailed a little bit more in what's called the commitment card, which is this trifold piece that's in there. And what this is the actual form that you will fill out as you think about committing to this church plant. And there are options in there, for example, to give weekly, monthly, quarterly, yearly, the amount you'd like to pledge. And there's a chart in there to help kind of think through that prayerfully. We will be doing electronic funds transfer, for example, and we have different methods with which you can be involved with that. We'll be collecting these on that final Sunday on the 25th as we go through with this. And so we would ask you to consider that as well and kind of look through kind of the more of the logistics with that. And then you can include that with that envelope that's inside of the packet that you have. The final piece that we have with this is there's a series of frequently asked questions. We, as a team, kind of came up with some things we thought would be important for people to know. There are some questions that we posed to the pastors and had them answer, and just kind of fleshing out some of the details. We recognize there will be things that will not be included on that frequently asked questions card, and anybody on the leadership team, you can feel free to ask us, and we'll try and come up with answers for you on that. So this is a very exciting thing. We're very much looking forward to see where God leads us with this process. And over the next few weeks, you're going to hear testimonies from people who have been involved or who will be involved with the plant. And it's going to be just exciting to see some of the things that we go through with this. What I'm going to do now is I have the worship team come up as I pray us out. Father God, I just thank you for your faithfulness to this church, your faithfulness in growing this church over the last 35 years, and putting it on our hearts that as we go out from here now and think about growing a church, that you will be leading out in front of us, Father. Just help us to think about our finances sacrificially and to realize that everything comes from you, Father God, and that you indeed are the leader of us all. I just pray that you would continue to bless this church and help people to search their hearts in a joyful manner. I pray this in your name, Father. Amen.